Okay, so now let's be recollect and we finish our talk for tonight. Last talk we talked about the different interior means to holiness that we have to conform our will to God. A lot of times the spirit of sacrifice, right? What the little poor Lucia, make everything you can a sacrifice can apply to all those three C's. Commandments, counsels, and circumstance of life. Because that everyday reality, we can make all those into a sacrifice. But also prayer, that we pray, I think the point I want to make is that we really pray not just with our lips, but it's important with our heart. And I will go into that more when we go into the exterior means of holiness on the rule of life. So tonight we will talk about the first two of the exterior means of holiness, spiritual direction and rule of life. Now, of course, there not everybody might have somebody as a spiritual director, but I think if you go to confession on a regular basis, somehow the regular confessor can at times can act in a capacity a bit like a spiritual director. Now, when we go to confession, it doesn't matter which priest you go to. The main thing you do is to confess your sin and get absolution. That's mainly what you go to confession for. Confess your sin and get absolution. Sometimes I'm bad, you know. I like to go to an older priest for confession because they're fast. You know, they will say to you, "Hey, what about our father?" And then get absolution. They're really fast with a point, you know. But of course, you know, for some people, they may want more things from the priest. They want to talk about things, you know. But oftentimes, if you are prepared, the main thing, it doesn't matter who is the priest, confession, you get absolution. Because you know that when the benediction is given, it's Jesus himself who gives absolution. And it's Jesus himself who infuses grace into your soul. But also, from time to time, it's helpful to have regular confessor or spiritual director. Because when we go to confession, we mainly deal with sin and get absolution and be done. But spiritual direction is something more than just confessing. You also want to go into the root of the sin. Okay, you confess your sin, but why do I do that? And so spiritual direction will give you more time to talk about that. Why am I doing that? What might be the proper solution? What might be the proper virtue that I should practice in order to uproot this particular kind of sin? We try to go to the root of the business. And oftentimes it's not enough time to be in the confessional to do that. In a parish where we have confession before Mass, you know, oftentimes there's a line up. And oftentimes I don't know how many is lined up outside in the confessional. How often I wish there's a camera outside. How many I feel outside. So I know how fast should I be in confession. No, so sometimes I told you, you know, we will just take as long as it takes because I don't want to rush you for a retreat. But regular parish life, we have to. You know, you have to consider that there might be people waiting outside, and I don't know how many. And I cannot say to you, "Hey, can come in waiting outside." You know? So, how I wish there's a camera, I can see inside, there's how many people outside. And, so quite often in the regular parish setting, you know, the main thing, if you do your best to say something helpful to the penitent, but maybe your main task is to hear your sin, give absolution, and get grace from him. You know, so because you want to impart the forgiveness, the grace of Jesus. But if it is a regular, you know, somebody would make an appointment to see the priest and actually not only confession but also spiritual direction, that's the time. You can really take your time to deal with anything that you can deal with. And that's spiritual direction. Some people, they, especially young people, you know, I don't give spiritual direction for right now to someone really discerning a religious vocation, you know. So somebody who might be in that situation, they do go to a spiritual director on a regular basis to really able to help to discern vocation. Sometimes, you know, it might be, for some it might be only once every few months, you know, or things like that, or whatever. So it's the need can be different. It depends on where you are in your life, and also where you are in the spiritual life. Now, in spiritual direction, it's basically, we think about, at one point in our life, very often when we make decisions that might be important, that might be have influence on other people, in that situation, we usually should consult in important decisions. And a lot of time, God makes known to us His will through other people. A lot of time, God made known His will to us through other people. And spiritual direction is one such channel that we let God speak to us. When we're thinking about different kind of arts, you know, we have to, or skill, we need the help of other people. Also, we need help from others in the spiritual life. And spiritual direction, as I mentioned, is talking about that we talk about what is the cause for the sin, and also our deep-rooted inclinations, our temperament, our acquired habits, temptations, and to discover the remedies for sin, what kind of virtues need to practice right now, how to foster the virtues, what are the means can be done, oftentimes also people with vocation and spiritual exercise. And there are even some kind of thought, you know, the survey I gave you would be good for spiritual direction to use, because it's also good to know where is the person right now in the spiritual life. Because different kind of people have different needs. When a person is really in the beginning of the spiritual life, the thing to watch out would be the person might be a bit indiscreet in doing too many things or too many penance. Or the person might experience dryness in prayer. The person might have the temptation to fall back into sin. Or presumption, I'm so good, you know, I'm a good person now, I'm a saint. But actually, you just started. So presumption. So those are the things that Christians are right to watch out of beginner. For those more advanced, usually the spiritual direction is to find out what is the person really need to practice virtue. The person might think that he or she need to practice the virtue of penance, prayer, or really high virtue. But actually, the first penance, the first thing to do is to get up your gossip habit. You know, gossiping. So that might be what needs to be done. So sometimes for a person more advanced, something, you know, the true therapist can see what is the virtue that needs to practice. And also, of course, to help the person perseverance in practicing the virtues and not to fall into lukewarmness. Sometimes people who are a bit advanced in the spiritual life, one of the temptation is to fall into lukewarmness. And then for those who are even more perfect, have to help to discern what are some divine inspirations. Is that really a divine inspiration from God? And also, of course, to help the person when there are spiritual trials and also spiritual consolation. Want to know how to travel on the spiritual life. Oftentimes, spiritual director, according to a spiritual writer like Saint Teresa, Saint Clement de Sales, is a bit weird. Quite often, if you take one among many people that can find a suitable spiritual director. And so if you find a spiritual director, then I think to stick to the spiritual director, if it's suitable. I would like my own spiritual director is from C1997, it's a long time already. So it's something that good that when we have questions, spiritual questions, spiritual need, that we have someone to talk to really find an answer, to really find direction. Because we cannot travel, just like when we have to learn a skill, technique, we cannot do it on our own. And also in the spiritual life, we need guidance and help.
And then the second exterior means to holiness is a rule of life.
So a rule of life should contextualize our day, help us to see beforehand our duties, so to fulfill them, and also not to neglect our prayer. I mentioned last talk that daily duties and prayer are really important. So a rule of life, kind of a timetable for ourselves, help us to put that into practice. So a rule of life can be a particular day. You know, some people, they might be planning a day, thinking morning exercise, evening exercise, and spiritual exercise during the day. Some of the old catechism book, you know, when Bob was a little stronger, you know, the catechism of St. Pius the Ten, you know, the catechism book like that, you know, in the good old days, they have the rule of life in one session. You know, they have a rule of life. And they would mention, you know, in the morning, when you get up, you know, they teach you really detail. Get up, make a sign of the cross, and they'll offer your day to God. When you are dressing yourself, think this is going to be my last day, you know. And then after that, you kneel before an image and make the morning offering and do a morning prayer. It can be like Our Father, Hail Mary, the Creed, that type of faith, hope, and charity. Of course, if you do the divine office, that's the best morning prayer you can do. During the day, Pius X, I think in that catechism, was a catechism he wrote as a bishop before he became pope. And so in that way, it's now called the Catechism of Pius X. It mentions three things to do during the day if you are able to. The first one is go to Mass if you are able to. That's the best prayer you can make for the day. The second is if you can pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, even though it's a short one. Pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament if possible. And the third one is pray the rosary. Those are the three things that you do during the day. And of course, it's also some other thing about really practical thing when it is temptation, turn to God in prayer. You know, you can always offer up your work to God, and during your work, try to ratify your intention to offer that up to God, doing for love of God, not for your own glory, you know, but for love of God, to ratify that intention. And also, of course, to pray before after meal, that's the standard. And then if you have many misfortune of sinning, you know, immediately, as soon as possible, pray the act of contrition, asking God for forgiveness. So things like that during the day. But the three main focus is the Mass, visit of the Blessed Sacrament, and the Rosary. And then in the evening, usually we have the evening prayer, and also examination of conscience that in the evening. And in the evening, of course, if you do the evening prayer in the divine office and night prayer, again, that's the best thing you can do. And during the day, also some spiritual writer, of course, pointed out it's good that we do some spiritual reading and meditation, mental prayer. I think, as I mentioned before, the challenge is that for some, it might still be a question of quantity. You do enough, more so that we don't waste our time on something that is more useless. You know, so if you plan your day, instead of spending your time before the television and the internet and Facebooking, you know, you spend your time into more wholesome activities that the rule of life can be doing for you. Some people might be in that stage of need to do something like that. For some, it might be the matter of more focus on quality. You know, now if you have been doing vocal prayer fairly well, if you have been, there are some people here, I think, have been not praying enough. You know, then you try to have enough vocal prayer. You know, try to see if you can do a morning prayer, evening prayer, or at least do the night prayer per day, and do a rosary and divine mercy, something like that to start with. If you are doing a night prayer, a rosary, and a divine mercy, that's pretty good to start with. If some people may do it more than that, people can do a bit more rosary. I know some people, you know, they can do 15, 20 decades, no problem. They do that also when they are driving. Sometimes they can pray when they are driving. When we grow up here, we pray rosary too in our car. And then that's the reality. You know, I drive to from Surrey to Vancouver a lot of times, so I can pay many rosary on the way. So I can do that, and I find it's a good way to pray. So different people may have different ways of doing vocal prayer, but you know how much you can do. You know your abilities. So, but I do suggest that at least, you know, do a rosary, do a good one every day, Divine Mercy and the night prayer. I pray we're good to do that in a few moments. It's the shortest of the three, morning, evening, and night prayer. It's the one that we do in prayer group. So basically, you try to do what we do in prayer group in our daily life. But if you're already having a good number of vocal prayer already, then think about, can I do a bit more of the prayer that are more quiet? Because I mentioned that, you know, it's important that we have prayer from the heart, of the heart. And God the Father goes and casts in. We mentioned that in the dialogue, that God the Father sometimes he does something with the vocal prayer. Just say the prayer and get it done. He only wants to really pray in the, from the heart. Doesn't mean we give up the vocal prayer, God the Father goes and casts in. You know, as long as we are not perfect, we need vocal prayer so that we are not going to get lazy. Because if you say, okay, I will only do mental prayer, so we need vocal prayer to help us not to be lazy. So our rosary and divine mercy, actually, the vocal prayer, if you do it well, that becomes mental prayer. Since we start laughing at talking about, you know, when you pray the rosary, when you pray the divine office, think about who you are praying to, and who am I? And that's become a vocal prayer already. And also, in Teresa Bakula, once there was a nun who complained that she couldn't do mental prayer. But when the nun described to St. Teresa, when Teresa asked her, describe your prayer life, she found that even though she is doing vocal prayer, by her vocal prayer, anyway, a bit like the rosary, something like that, she already actually reached a pretty good stage of mental prayer already. Because she was doing those prayers really well. So if you pray the rosary really well, that's already, it can be already a mental prayer already. But still, as I mentioned, because not all the mystery is covered directly by the rosary. So every day is good to spend some time in spiritual reading and mental prayer, meditation. So I suggest, you know, 10 to 15 minutes for each is a good practice. Maybe, you know, in the morning when your mind is more alert, you can do 10 minutes of meditation. Some people may be different, you'll be more alert at night time than you can do it at night time, okay? So it depends. Some people can read well at night time. You know, night time is a horrible time, you know, and I don't do anything well, morning is better for me. But some people I know is more alert at night time. There are always two types of people, you know, those who are more alert in the morning, those who are more alert at night time. So you know who you are, and you know where to put those things. But then when you do the prayer, you have to think about what is the best location to do it, or the best posture too. Or some, you know, when they are sitting down, they might be falling asleep really quick. Or something I need to actually stand up, like I'm doing right now. You're sitting up, I'm doing fast. Hey, is it the time? You have to stand up. You pace around a little bit. Like Guru Shin, he make a holy hour every day in his life. Even the day, I think the day he died, he actually still make a holy hour. And Bishop Guru Shin, sometimes he need to pace back and forth in the church. That's the only way he could stay awake. To do his holy hour. So we know that even people, you know, you cannot believe I'm the kind of person who falls asleep so easily. When I go into something like a mental prayer or a meeting, one time, Tua Rosanna, organized a meeting about youth ministry in the afternoon. I have a hard time staying awake in the whole meeting. You know, a meeting in the afternoon can kill me. Like 9 o'clock in the afternoon can kill me. You know, when I go to the retreat, afternoon is always a torture for me. And also, I don't think it's a big confession in the afternoon is a torture for me too, you know. Because it's so easy. So that's why when I was in confession for the school student, I used the old confessional in Precious Blood. Because I really have to stand up
They cannot see me standing up. We hear all those confessions. Because I was only asleep, just standing up.
So when I pray in the afternoon, I never sit down in the afternoon when I pray. I rarely sit down in the afternoon. You know, sometimes only hour in the afternoon, you see me at the back of the church, I'm standing up and doing the rosary, you know what? Yeah, I'm so bad. I know it's probably so easy. In seminary, I sat through all the scripture class in the afternoon, you know? But we seminarians are really working as a team. Before exam, we have a holy confession and we divide and conquer. Anyhow, so we all know our weakness. We all want to get around our weakness. Just like my scripture card, how to get around that. You know, I step through scripture, I step through history of philosophy, I step through English class. But always you've got good, kind seminarians who will lend you their notes before exams in the class. And got good grades. So, we all know our weakness and we can get around them. You know, even in prayer life, we know our weakness and we plan our day accordingly. So, the challenge is that if there is lacking in quantity, work on that. And then, when we find that in our daily prayer, there is not much something that is really can be quiet from the heart. You know, try to spend some time in quiet prayer, like scripture reading and mental prayer, meditation. If you do that, 15 minutes for each is good. You know, for meditation, sometimes you need a book to help you to stay focused. Sometimes you need to be standing up to stay focused. But also for scripture reading, I find that, you know, it's so simple. 15 minutes, you can do, read the Bible one page, and then you read another spiritual book. That's all you need to do. And then if you read the Bible, you know that many good Bible around. I use the Ancient Study Bible because I find the footnotes is excellent. Because I have so many Bible at home, I try every single one, and I find out I still like the Ancient more than the other one. But there's a lot of different good Bible around. We can use classic Bibles, and then a spiritual book. So it's something that we can do. And then if you already have that plan already, you are praying quite a bit every day, work on the quality. Think about in the book called The Three Stages of the Spiritual Life. It's mentioned that if you go to one mass, that you go with great devotion, receive one communion with great devotion, that one communion or that one mass that you attend can bring you more graces than many masses or many communions that you receive in a lukewarm and routine manner. The same applies to confession. You know, one confession made really well can bring you more graces than many confessions that you make in a really routine and lukewarm manner. And I think when you go to St. Catherine Dialogue, remember that she experienced delay in receiving the sacrament, but because of that delay, she actually received more grace because of her desire, because of her longing for the sacrament. So we also think about that in our prayer life too. The important thing is the quality. Some of the saints, a lot of the saints, they pray much and they also pray well. And that's how they become saints. Some of the people, they may pray much but not well. They're still not quite holy yet. So the important thing is that we really do our best to pray. If you are able to pray much and pray well. And to pray much according to your capacity, some people are more busy than the other, but it's always important that we transform our work into prayer too. And we offer that up to God, do it for God, and we renew our intention when we are doing that. And so we should not have a light area break between our prayer life and our professional or work life. Because the two, one should support the other. You think about when you're doing mental prayer, you can pray about your work with Jesus, that gives you strength to do your work better. And then in your work, you might encounter different kind of people. You can, instead of gossiping to other people, you can talk about them with Jesus in prayer. You know, thanking for his presence, this of your company.
you know. And so actually your work is going back to your prayer. And then you pray in your sleep, you go back to your work. And so it is important that we also, every day we have spiritual exercise, but also every week, we can think about, sometimes we can even plan a week, we can think about what I'm going to do. Like St. Thomas More, we have a picture on the hallway there, St. Thomas More, he had a habit to get up at 2 and study until 5, I think. Because that he, when he was determining his vocation, he was in Buddhakarpushan, like all the chapters. When they live in the monastery, they become so holy for the rest of their life, you know, as it comes more. So he got a lifelong habit, getting up early and studying for hours, you know. So, lifelong habit that he might satisfy us with, you know. So that's his habit. Every day his rule of life is to study in the morning. And he was a lawyer, a politician. So there are some things that we can plan our day. Yeah. We think about, you know, Pope St. John Paul II actually he would need to stay up very late. You know, his schedule is a bit different. I think that he is different because he has stayed in the afternoon. So they can stay up later. We know we have our how our body works and how our schedule works, and so the rule of life can be really helpful for us to know what to do, to plan our week, to plan our day, so that we know what we are doing in a particular day, and also do it for love of God, and to focus on not only increasing the quality, the quantity necessary, but more important, the quality of our prayer. Enough for today. So tomorrow we talk about another two means of experiencing of holiness. We're talking about spiritual reading and also the sanctification of social relationship.
Okay.